listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo.
Judy Bendit, born and raised in dental office with over 45 years of experience in dentistry. She is a speaker, author, and clinician, faculty at Penn Dental Medicine, alumni board member at the University of Pennsylvania Dental School, member of the University of Pennsylvania Dental Hygiene Alumni, and advisory board member at the Palm Beach State College. Member of CAMRA Coalition, American Academy of Cariology, and American Pediatric Section Oral Health. Longstanding member of the Pennsylvania Dental Hygiene Association, listed in Dentistry Today as a top speaker for over a decade. Volunteer clinician at home and abroad. Judy, it's great to have you back on the Dental Chat. We learn about picking a toothbrush on episode 4, and today you come back to talk to us about mouthwash. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm very good. So there are so many mouthwashes out there, and picking one may depend on our oral needs. So I'm so glad you're here to help us guide us through this process. So can you tell us, when looking for a mouthwash, what are the things we should consider to help us choose which mouthwash is best for us?
So that is a fabulous question. And I kind of wanted to put my thoughts together. So I made a list, and I'll go through this so that I don't miss anything. But basically what I instruct dental professionals as well as patients is, the first thing you have to do is figure out, why do I want a mouthwash? Do I need a mouthwash? Is it something that will benefit me? So the considerations are, if you have a plaque control issue, if you're constantly growing a lot of plaque in your mouth and you're having trouble keeping it out. Every time you go to your dental professional, your dentist, your hygienist, are they always complaining that there's an accumulation of plaque that you have to worry about? Is it a bad breath issue? Is it that you're getting a lot of cavities and you are not getting enough fluoride, for instance, from the toothpaste alone that you're using, or that maybe you're not using a toothpaste with fluoride, so you need it for that? Is it a soft tissue management? Is your gums bleeding a lot and you've got a lot of inflammation that you're trying to address? Is there a fungal issue that you may be dealing with? Is there a cancer xerostomic? A xerostomic is a dry mouth issue. Are you a radiation or chemotherapy patient and looking for some help? Because most patients who are dealing with chemotherapy and radiation desperately need help. Or is it a tooth or a tissue sensitivity? So we have to distinguish between all of these things and decide, hey, is this something that I'm able to address with my toothpaste alone, or do I need some additional help? So I think those are the main reasons why some people will need a mouthwash.
So this brings me to our second question. How can a mouthwash improve our oral health?
So basically, with all those things I just listed, the goal is to protect the tooth, and to protect all of the tissues, the tongue, everything that surrounds your teeth. And so we want to keep our mouth lubricated, so to speak. We want to keep it from drying out. And that happens from medications. If you're taking two or three different medications on a regular basis, chances are you're getting dry mouth issues. So you want something to protect the tissues. We want something to protect them from that radiation chemotherapy. We want to prevent those cavities from happening. We want to protect the mouth and make us feel more comfortable with bad breath issues. So all of these things can improve our oral health. And so that's why we want to consider all of these different options.
Can you talk about mouthwash with fluoride?
I certainly can talk about fluoride, but I just want to share with your listeners that there are lots and lots of other ingredients that are equally as important or great for consideration depending on what's going on in your mouth. So fluoride is important because it really can help our patients to protect from cavities. And the challenge I have with mouthwash is that we don't get as much fluoride as we can get
either in our toothpaste, both over the counter, and what we can really get a lot of fluoride in is some of the prescription products that we as dental professionals recommend to our patients. So, we have to consider the fact that a prescription fluoride is going to be a whole lot better than a fluoride mouthwash. But I wanted to share with your listeners some of the other ingredients that I think are equally as interesting for consideration. So the essential oils are what we get in the Listerine products. Chlorhexidine, we're going to talk about in one of the other questions that you asked me about. So I'll reserve that one for later. Something called CPC, which is cetylprindium chloride, is a really great product that has a lot of great research behind it. And the products are made by both Crest and Colgate. And I love this particular ingredient in my water pick, as an example. So any water flossers, people benefit really well when they're trying to reduce the gingival inflammation that they might have in their mouth. They can use one of these two products in one of these water irrigators. Chlorine dioxide is a product, a company called Closest, which I really like. We also have something called xylitol, which many of you from around the world are familiar with, and we can get that in some of our mouthwashes as well. And then we have some crazy alternative type ingredients, which I just want to share. And I'm going to ask all of you to, look into them, look at the science and consider some of them. Now, some of them have real science and some of them are more like a DIY. So when you talk about do it yourself, you talk about something like coconut oil, aloe vera. Those are kind of the things that people more approaches. But there's a new product called Chitosan, which is a company out of California that uses the outside of a shrimp. They found that there are some ingredients there that can help reduce the plaque in our mouth. So that's an interesting new product. There's something called dalmopinol 0.2%, which is out of, I think, Germany, but it's here in this country through a company called Sunstar Butler, and it's for actually reducing the amount of plaque that can adhere to the tooth surface. Then we have something called tea tree oils. So there's a lot of different products out there, and it's just exciting to watch as new products come on the market. So it's not just one or two options that we have for our patients. There's a lot of different things as I just kind of went through.
So, what do we need to know about mouthwash with chlorhexidine?
So, in my mind, and I'll be curious what your opinion is if you've had a lot of experience with it, but I remember when it first came out, it was back in the mid to late 80s. It got FDA approval and came to the United States, but it's been used in Europe forever. And unfortunately, when we got it in this country, in the United States, they couldn't get the same concentration. So, it's a little bit less. But most people use it short term. It's not a product that you want people to be on long term. And the reason for that is that after about 2 or 3 weeks of using it, your teeth start to really stain from it. Now, the stain comes right off, but it's something that people, if they were using it all the time, would find to be a little difficult for them to have to look at when people smiled, obviously. But it has some amazing properties to it. And it's really kind of the gold standard for short-term care. And what I'm finding is a lot of the cardiothoracic surgeons are requiring patients to use the for 1 to 2 weeks before they do any cardiac surgery. Because you and I both know that there's a relationship between the mouth and the heart, and it's all connected. And so if we can reduce the amount of bacteria in our mouth that gets into our bloodstream, we're going to have a better outcome of our cardiac procedures. So from that standpoint, it's fabulous. There are a lot of surgeons who use it. If they're having it giving put placing an implant, they might want to use something like chlorhexidine for a week or two after, because the patients are kind of babying the area. They're afraid to brush because they've had this procedure, and this can keep that bacteria, or what we call the bioburden, reduced significantly so that they don't accumulate a lot of plaque, which can irritate the area that they're working on. So it now comes both regular and alcohol free, and I just think it's a great product. So I don't know if you have any experiences that you want to share, but that's kind of my opinion. I think it's a really great product.
I agree with what you're saying, and I really think it's a great product. And one of the things, yes, that has kept people away a little bit is the fact that it does like stain the teeth and sometimes the tongue a little bit. I think the benefits of prior to a cardiac surgery, and the more we understand about the use of these products and the benefits that they have, I think is definitely going to bring a lot to to understanding how to take care of our oral health.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about mouthwash with xylitol?
So I'm not going to say too much other than it's basically used as an alternative to fluoride. We know that xylitol can help change the pH of our mouth so it can keep our mouth healthier. So I actually like xylitol products all day long. I mean, we've been recommending 5 to 10 doses of in some form throughout the course of the day, especially after you eat something or drink something that's acidic. We can, like, for instance, if you've had a candy bar or you've had a very acidic drink, if you were to rinse with a xylitol product, you could help bring the pH back to neutral, which is around 7. Because unfortunately, a lot of sodas and lemonades will bring the pH down to 2 or 3. And if you leave it that way, if you keep drinking all day long and don't try to protect the teeth and get it back to 7, you're going to end up with cavities. So we can use this as a means to help with caries control, helping to keep the mouth healthier and safer, so that we don't get cavities.
Is there a mouthwash that can be used if the main concern is bad breath?
So the answer to that is there are some products that can help, but before anybody should recommend a product for that, they really need to be evaluated by their dental professional. Somebody really needs to look at the pH to evaluate the saliva and do some actual tests to see what is causing the bad breath. Because if you just start throwing different solutions at it without knowing what's wrong, we're not necessarily going to solve the problem. So I really think that there are lots of things that your dental professional can share with you, can look in your mouth and help determine what's causing it, looking at your diet, looking at all those different things that you put in your mouth to determine what's causing that concern. So I think that's the best way to handle it. But yes, there are some products out there that can definitely help.
What are other things we should consider when choosing a mouthwash
So one
to?
of the things I want everybody to consider is should they be using an alcohol or an alcohol-free product? And so I kind of wanted to share with everybody some of the reasons we'd want to avoid an alcohol-based product would be children 6 and under, which should not be using it. And think about orthodontic patients, patients with dry mouth. We definitely, it's, we want to be concerned about that. Some diabetic patients can be uncomfortable or more uncomfortable if they have an alcohol-based product. Obviously, alcoholics who are trying to refrain from having any products, this could elicit that response that, gee, I really, miss that alcohol. So maybe the mouthwash will help me feel better, but it won't. Patients with sensitive tissues, so patients going through chemotherapy, maybe, and certain religious beliefs. There are some patients who need to avoid it. So we have a lot of products out there that we talked about already. For instance, the acetylprednium chlorides are alcohol free. I mentioned chlorhexidine. So there's Colgate just came out with an alcohol free chlorhexidine, and Sunstar Butler has an alcohol free product. So there are lots of different options out there, but I just encourage everybody to read the label. So that's one of the main things that I want people to consider, as far as, we've talked about the fluoride, obviously, and what other ingredients, but that's the only other consideration I could think of that I thought was important for your audience.
Any last comments for our listeners?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the fact that we're still living with COVID, and it's something that when you go to your dental professional, I'd like you to actually have a conversation about, because we all these products that I've talked about up till this minute have been antimicrobial, and we have lots and lots of studies that show that antimicrobials are essential for helping with, dry mouth and and caries and all of these different things. But those, because they're antimicrobial, they're not necessarily antiviral. And we have some recent studies that are showing some promising results with a couple ingredients, which I just want to share with your audience so that they can think about it, discuss it with their healthcare providers, and see if this is something else they need to be concerned with. So things like povidone iodine and hydrogen peroxide are two that we've been talking about for over a year. Unfortunately, they don't taste very good, so that's the major obstacle with those. There's something called sodium hypochlorite. There's a molecular iodine, and then the one other one we talked about before was the chlorine dioxide. So those are just some new considerations for mouthwashes for all of us to think about. Some offices are actually using these as what we call pre-procedural rinses, so that before they go in to work in your mouth, they might actually have you rinse your mouth for 30 seconds or 60 seconds with one of these, spit out, do some work, and then have you do it again at the end of the procedure. And that way, they're keeping the load, the viral load down as much as they can to protect you as the patient, to protect them as the clinician. You know, think about all those aerosols that are going into the air. So if we can eliminate as much as we can, we're all going to be a lot safer.
Thanks so much for returning to the podcast, Judy. This was great information for our
Thank
listeners.
you. It's always fun to talk to you, and I hope everybody got something out of it.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchadpodcast.com or email me at dentalchadpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.